Welcome to the European Parliamentary Research Service podcasts.
As almost 400 million EU citizens prepare to go to the polls in June to elect the next European Parliament, we turn our attention to how this massive democratic exercise is organised and the multiple ideas and attempts to strengthen it, now and in the future. So stay with us. It's about your future.
From the 6th to the 9th of June 2024, voters across Europe will go to the ballot box to elect the 720 members of the European Parliament, 15 more than in the outgoing Parliament. And as the EU's only directly elected body, this election is one of the largest democratic exercises in the world.
Yes, it is. So, how is it currently organised?
Well, EU election rules today are a combination of national and European ones. MEPs are elected according to national electoral systems, providing they respect common EU rules, such as proportional representation. But member states are free to decide on many aspects of the process. For example, while in some countries voters can only vote for a list without the possibility to change the order of candidates on it, in others they can express their preference for one or more candidates.
Now, to be elected, a candidate needs to receive a minimum number of votes. According to EU rules, countries can set their own thresholds, provided they're not higher than 5%. They're also free to organise the electoral territory as long as the proportionality principle is respected.
So whilst in the majority of countries the national territory forms a single electoral constituency for the European elections, some countries have divided their territories into multiple constituencies.
There are also different rules on the minimum age of voters. So whilst in most countries you can vote at 18, in Greece you can do it at 17, and in Belgium, Germany, Malta and Austria as early as 16.
And the same goes for candidates, where the minimum age ranges from 18 years in most countries to 25 in Italy and Greece. Now what other differences are there?
Well, whilst in most countries voting is a voluntary exercise, in four member states it's obligatory, and there are many differences concerning the voting modalities for EU citizens living in another country.
Indeed, member states give different possibilities to their nationals who reside abroad as regards the exercise of the right to vote. For example, in some countries like Ireland or Slovakia, it's not possible to vote from abroad and one has to go back to one's own country, while in others, like Germany or Austria, only voting by post is possible.
To encourage non-resident EU citizens to register and vote in the next elections, the Parliament and the Commission have set up a website with information on deadlines and procedures in both the home and residence countries.
Now, one aspect of EU elections which is not enshrined in either national or European electoral rules is the lead candidate or Spitzenkandidat process.
The European Parliament has long sought to ensure that, by voting in European elections, citizens not only elect the Parliament itself, but also have a say over who will lead the European Commission. That's the reasoning behind the lead candidate process, although in practice, the process has only worked once, with the election of the EPP lead candidate, Jean-Claude Juncker, as President of the Commission after the 2014 European elections.
But the Parliament has proposed a new approach to give the process another chance. Here's Sylvia Kotanidis from the European Parliamentary Research Service.
In December 2023, Parliament proposed a more nuanced approach for the lead candidate process, whereby the lead candidate of the European political party that obtained the most seats in Parliament should lead the negotiations for a common candidate to the position of President of the European Commission. The lead candidate process and this recent Parliament proposal seek to enhance the political link between the President of the European Commission and the only directly elected institution of the European Union.
Now, one of the problems with European elections is that they tend to be seen by citizens as second-order elections, in part because there is no pan-European candidates list, nor a real space for debate on European rather than national issues ahead of European elections.
A number of reforms to harmonise rules and bring more visibility to candidates have been proposed over the years. Some have been adopted. Others have been adopted but are not in force. But it was not till May 2022 that the European Parliament voted in favour of a more radical overhaul of European election rules. So what would change? Stay with us.
some aspects would remain unchanged. Elections would still be based on a direct universal suffrage, and countries would still be able to organise their territory in either a single or several constituencies. But many other things would change.
Notably, the age for voting or standing as a candidate, the electoral calendar, the way candidates are selected, including from a gender perspective, and the electoral threshold. But perhaps the most important change for citizens is that they would get to cast two votes, one for national candidates in national lists and another for pan-European candidates in a union-wide constituency, of which there would be 28 in total. We spoke to the proposal's rapporteur, Dominic Ruiz de Veza.
This proposal has three objectives. We want to create a transnational campaign across the EU. We want to strengthen the visibility of European political parties. And third, we strengthen the principle of the lead candidates for the presidency of the European Commission.
For these changes to go through, the proposal needs to be adopted by the Council in unanimity, but the process is proving a challenging one, to say the least, especially as concerns sensitive issues such as the introduction of a Europe-wide constituency, transnational lists, and lowering the voting age.
So stay tuned. And if you would like to know more, check out the full policy brief by Silvia Kotanidis and David de Groot on the EPRS website or in our app.
This is a European Parliamentary Research Service podcast.
Thanks for listening.